What's up, everyone? I'm Fenyo from the Fight Side. This is the Yearly Brilliant Podcast. And I'm bringing back the man, the Jeff Suda, the cool thought. How are you, Sandro?
Yeah, not too bad. Had a good weekend. How about you?
I had a pretty good weekend. Except, like, the fights were kind of mean. And we're here to talk mostly about that. So, we had an Apex event. Headlined Woo! By two strawweight girls fighting at flyweight for some reason. I mean, I guess Namajunas said she wanted to move, like, permanently to 125. But also, Hivas just said that she wanted to move, like, permanently to 115. So, who knows what the fuck was this. And, yeah, let's get into that fight. What were your, like, main thoughts of the main event? Rose Namajunas versus Amanda Hivas.
To be honest, my big takeaway is that I really don't like Rose at flyweight. I have some, like, other thoughts about the specifics of the fight. She has the frame for it, I guess. But a lot of, like, the time when you would see her struggling at strawweight was with more physical, fighters, and especially in tie-ups, that was, like, always a big issue for her. And you saw that a little bit. There were times where Hibas could use the takedown threat to kind of get her against the cage, and she didn't do much with it, but you could kind of see how someone who, you know, that was their main threat, you could see that being a real issue for her, and I feel like, I don't know, it's probably good to not be cutting weight, and I guess she's, like, fought basically everybody down at strawweight, so, you know, tough, but... Yeah, that's my main thought, is I really don't like Rose there.
Yeah, I think I agree for sure with that. It's like, because Rose put on the weight to move up, unlike Hivas, yes, who just looked like a strawweight out there. Rose was a lot bigger, and she was still struggling with, like, the physicality of Amanda, I felt. And mm-hmm. and also the scrappiness. And I'm thinking about, like, top girls at the... at 125, and 125 had this fame of being, like, this terrible division, but it has somewhat of an elite right now, and I think all of them are pretty bad for Rose. I think Rose could maybe have, like, a decent matchup with Grasso, but Grasso, like, new style is so physical and aggressive that I think even her is, like, a bad matchup for 125 Rose. Because Grasso just turned into, like, this, like, physical bully for some reason out of nowhere to fight Valentina. And I think those same tools are very good to fight Rose as well.
Actually, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, those matchups at the... I think you were saying, right, that, like, Macy Barber...
Macy Barber would beat the shit out of Rose, like...
It's really unfortunate, but it is one of those things. Because, I mean, I guess, you know what, I don't hate Macy Barber.
She's not cool yet. But she's, like, way better than she used to be, like...
That's true, yeah. She, like, there was a while where she was, like, a pure physical bully.
Oh, she was so bad at one time, yeah.
She was really bad, and then she, like, went through a period where she was still really bad, but she stopped being a physical bully. And it was like, well, like, how are you gonna win fights? And now she kind of knows what she wants to do, which is good.
Yeah, she's pretty good, and... like, people were saying, like, oh, Rose can, like, maybe, like, keep here at bay because Macy's, like, super limited at range. But the thing is that I don't trust anyone to do, like, Joe Saldo versus Frankie Edgar 2. Like, you eventually are going to find yourself in clinches against the fence and...
Right, and Rose always does find, like, her ability to slide in and out is very good. She's able to, like... A lot of the time, if people can, like, take angles off, they can either, like, build offense off of it, or they can escape, like, not within an exchange, but they can only do one, basically.
Yeah.
Like, some people are like, oh, I can angle off and I can throw a hook from here, or they, like, angle off and get out. And Rose can kind of is actually able, like, to do both within a single fight, but it's not something that, especially when there's, like, a takedown threat present, it's not something that she can consistently do, and I don't think she builds up, like, enough. She's very, like, pot shotty, so she doesn't build up enough offense to, like, dissuade you from doing it. If you back her up and you're fine taking a shot, you can kind of corner her.
Yeah, it is not sustainable for her. Like, she has the skills for sure. She has like pretty good footwork at the moment, but if we go back to like her best performance on like the back foot and moving around is against Andrade in the rematch,
Andrade the second time.
and that's like a robbery.
That was like also like very obviously a fight she loses super bad over 5 rounds.
And I'm not sure she won it over three either. Like,
That's true, yeah. And speaking of actually, how do you this was like a fairly I don't know, I feel like Phoebus like pumping her hands a lot kind of made it fake output, but this was a pretty low output fight, I feel like. Do you think Rose's cardio is like any different at flyweight?
I was. She gave me the impression at times that she was super tired, but I think at the end it was more like her confidence was, she was like having a mental moment because she looked all right at the end of the fight. I think she was uncomfortable with the pace that Hivas was setting, but most on the like I have to think about so much shit sense, more than in the I'm getting tired sense. But I feel like she could get tired of dealing with actual like bigger girls,
For sure. Yeah, and
like
especially like if
she
she
looked pretty tired against Manon in the third round in their fight, and I would expect like the same against like Blanchfield or Grasso or like even Natalia Silva, who throws like insane output out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't like Rose at 125
Yeah.
either.
The last thing I want to say is that I think if you like we've talked about her having issues if she gets backed up or like the other thing is like if you can force her to exchange or she decides to exchange, she like has good offense from there, but a lot of the defensive stuff she does just kind of goes away if she plants her feet and tries to put a combination together rather than like sliding in with a 1-2 at most, but usually like a straight to the body or something like that or a jab. If you end up getting into an exchange with her, those were the times that Hibas was getting like offense off because her head stays pretty stationary if she's throwing like multiple punches together.
Yeah, she really needs like whole control of an exchange to look actually good. Like, if you put like any chaos into the equation, like she's a lot more hittable. And Hivas was having success with like grabbing like collar tights and just landing hooks with the other hand. And she kind of hurt Rose like twice in the fight, which is like surprising because she was not landing like on the shin. She was like just landing on the side of the head. And Rose was not liking those. And she was also not reacting super well to body shots. Like, all of this, like, doesn't. To me, it looked like a fight that Rose loses if they were to fight at 115 and they had more of a size parity, to be honest. Because Rose won a lot of those, like, silly scrambles from the head and arm throw by
Yes,
virtue
yeah.
of being, like, a lot bigger, I feel.
And also those scrambles kind of only happened because that's what Hibas was looking to do in the tie-ups. And you could tell that if she was trying to do something else in those tie-ups, that it probably would have gone quite poor, which is a thing, like a recurring thing. I recall that being something I thought about the Ioana rematch, where there were a couple occasions where it just ended up in the clinch. I don't think either one like really pushed it to the clinch. It just ended up there, and Ioana kind of dummied her a little bit. It's been a few years since I've seen that fight, but I do remember that pretty vividly. Someone yell at me if that's wrong.
No, yeah, I remember people like Joanna fans being like smart Joanna fans being pretty mad that she was not pushing for the clinch harder in that fight,
Yeah, that was
because
me.
she was winning like every time they ended up there. So yeah, I mean, good for Rose, I guess. I hope Amanda moves back to 115. That's clearly her weight class. She does not have the size for 125. And for Rose, what's next? I don't know because like it sucks that we lost Tayla Santos in the division because she was actually good.
Is she
I
in
guess.
PFL now? Is that what happened?
Yeah, she went
Wait,
to
where's
BFL. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Give her Babachuk, I say.
Yeah, but Novacek is like coming off a loss. I'm not sure they're giving Rose
Don't care.
I think they're gonna feed Rose to Natalia Silva. And maybe Natalia Silva gets grappled, but most likely like she just like puts a lot of volume on Rose and Rose doesn't like
it. Do you think
it.
Rose like can win fights by grappling? Or do you think it's she's reached like the late stage DC thing where she can use it as a mix up and a threat, but it's just not a thing that she
maybe
fights with.
To be honest, I was kind of surprised that Rose is like not a big puncher anymore, it looks like.
Yeah. I don't know if that's like everybody at strawweight was cutting a shitload of weight. it's just that nobody like hit hard enough for that to be a problem, and now, you know,
because Rose was having like better quality on her connections, but the damage was super close here.
Like, and it's not like Hibas is like a crazy chin merchant or anything either.
No, because she was getting like shit kicked by
Barber.
No, and also by the 115 girl, like the super cool girl, Marina. Yeah. Marina just slapped her around.
Yeah, she beat the fucking shit out
of her. Yeah, it was insane. a lot of concerns moving forward with Rose, like seems to have lost a step physically, and durability-wise, also concerning. And the mental side is not getting much better, despite she saying she's the best a lot.
She hates China just a little bit more. I think she can really get back to that championship mentality.
Okay, yeah, probably.
Sorry.
She just need to think her bone in his pet barrier or something. Just let it go. The co-main for some reason was Carl Williams versus Justin Taffa. Did you watch this one?
Twice! my big thought is that Carl Williams has like, I feel like that's like the best physique you can have as a heavyweight without being like an obvious steroid guy. Like, I'm not saying he's natty, but like, that's, you know what I mean, like, it's like the biggest you could be without looking like a total freak,
like a big dude in shape, like that's Carl Williams.
Yeah,
he's pretty athletic, to be honest, but
yes, he's really fast.
He's only like Taffa? 230, right? Like,
let me
see, last weigh in 246. He's not a small dude.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's fucking big. Decent reach too. Taffa's like, I feel like Taffa's one of those guys where if he like wasn't if he wasn't doing MMA, he'd be pretty cool. but he's like really bad at super important parts of MMA.
Taffa when he gets to fight like a striker, that it's only a striker because it is heavyweight, and he's not a real striker. Taffa is super cool because he just kills you. He murders the shit out of you.
The old Tai Tuivasa.
But Carl Williams is cheating by being an actual MMA fighter at heavyweight. Like,
I was going to say, almost.
Almost, yeah. Because, yeah, the striking look fell apart at times.
Yeah.
Super bad.
I mean, I will say, like, Williams really did enjoy hitting Taffa in the stomach. He did it like so much, especially near the end where he had him trapped on the cage. I forget what position they were in, but he was just like throwing hammer fist into his stomach. Very visceral.
And Taffa super long torso, by the way, like super short legs. He's not even like as short as you would think, but he has like super short legs. He can actually throw high kicks, except when he's getting taken down by Carl Williams.
He got taken down off of a very slow high kick.
Yeah, that was. And he has quick high kicks too, so it was like a moment for sure.
A moment.
But yeah, good for Carl Williams. Hope they keep Justin Taffa because he's kind of fun in silly fights. Carl Williams' ceiling, I'm not sure. I wonder if he can like defend takedowns because he wrestles so much himself.
I don't know. But There's a lot of like fake MMA fighters who do that thing where they like have offensive wrestling and then
they cannot defend at all.
Yeah,
like
for their lives, because basically it must be one of those things where, like, their gym does rounds of wrestling and they find it a lot easier to be on the attack, so they just do that for the whole round.
Yeah.
And they just, like, never learn how to defend takedowns.
So, before that, we have Edmund Sebastian, who I used to hate a lot and I kind of like right now.
He lost enough so that you like him now.
He lost so much that it's okay to like him. It's like the Sean Woodson thing. And he fought AJ Dobson, who, I gotta say, maybe my least favorite middleweight for some reason. It's probably because he beat, like, Nshukwi. And I like Nshukwi a lot. What else has AJ Dobson done? He lost to Armin Petrosian and he lost to Jacob Malkoon. Okay.
Strong opinions on Kennedy. The Njukwe. Okay, sorry, different guy.
Yeah, the cool guy, no. Kennedy and Seishuku can get fucked.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who the fuck like Kennedy and Seishuku?
Yeah, okay, sorry, I heard you wrong. That's my fault.
Yeah, so AJ Dobson, to his credit, looked super fast here, especially against Edmund, who is super fast himself. And then he hurt Edmund, and he proceeded to do, like, nothing at all. He was like, you're super lame when you do that.
It was like a cool finishing sequence up until then, also. Like, it was, he hurt him with, like, what did he hurt him with?
I don't remember at all. Like, they were throwing
in
the pocket.
Yeah, I forget what he got. But... And then, like Shabazian went for the tie-up, and then he got, like, the knee and then a left hook. Like, It looked like he would be – Dobson was, like, a cool finisher, and then he just fucked it.
And then he didn't try anything for the rest of the fight.
Yeah. You know what's weird? Dobson seems kind of a natural leg – kick checker. Like, a lot of guys will check leg kicks, and it seems like something that they're doing because they drilled it in for this fight or something.
Yeah,
he seems like it's like something he does a lot, which is
Dobson looks like a skilled guy for the division and athletic. Mm-hmm. So it's like clearly something mental that he's not putting it together, because
did you notice that Shabazian's, like, he had this like rear, like, with his rear leg, he would go for the leg kick, and it was just, like, the slowest thing I've ever seen a pro fight. Because Shabazian, like you said, he's a really fast guy. He basically, like, he relies on his speed to close distance.
And
like, totally.
Insanely
and he throws, like,
quick
these...
kicker, too. It used to be.
Yeah, but his rear low kick is, like, the slowest thing I've ever seen.
It was it was kind of weird, yeah. Because if you compare that, like, with the high kick that he killed Tavares with, That was so fucking quick. And here, Shabazian's hands looked pretty fast. But yeah, the kicks did not look like former, like, Shabazian kicks, to be honest.
Also, the finishing sequence was super weird. It was like a...
He clicked him with a weird left hook, yeah.
Yeah, it was like it hit with his, like, thumb or something.
It was, like, honestly, very, like, clippy, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was, like, one of those ones where, like, the clipping shot hits you worse than, like, if it actually connected fully, or if it was just he got like off balanced and then the follow-up GMP was like,
yeah, probably one of those two. The clipping shots fuck you up sometimes, like they just twist your neck weird sometimes and you die. And AJ Dobson died for sure. Who was the referee here? Because
that stoppage was so bad.
It was so bad, yeah.
That... And Dobson, I don't know if you caught this at the end, he went up, like, when they were hugging, he was like, and you're only 26? Which I thought was pretty funny. I was like, man, he's pretty old in fight terms at this point.
Yeah, I cannot find who was the referee, but that dude fucked up, like, for sure. Yeah,
that was super bad.
Peyton Talbot, the darling of the Zoomers of MMA Twitter. He fought Cameron Simon, the twinkest guy in the whole UFC. Yeah,
Dricus Duplessis' slave boy wife.
And this guy had a cool fight, but it was mostly Peyton Talbot beating the shit out of Cameron Simon.
It was one of those things. I was expecting it to be You know what's weird is I've seen Saman's other UFC fights, but I was expecting this to be one of those things where, like sometimes a champion has like a buddy that's a fighter, and they get their champion for like long enough, and the UFC's like, okay, fine, we'll feed him to like three Dana White Contender Series guys in a row. He'll get finished, and then we'll cut him. When Weidman was champion, they were like, okay, fine, we'll give Jean Volante like main cards.
Yeah.
I thought Saman was like one of those guys where like they were like, fine, Dricus, like we'll get your buddy in and we'll give him a bunch of fights to show he doesn't belong in the UFC, but you can't say that we didn't put him in the UFC. And then I learned he has like a couple of UFC wins. I was like, how the fuck did he win these fights? What was he doing in
Well,
this?
for on his first fight, he looked he fought a guy that was like barely UFC level. And he looked fantastic there, like because he is the kind of guy that looks very good in dominant wins. And oh no, yeah,
Who was
both
that?
guys were like barely UFC level.
Steven Koslow?
Yeah, Koslow and Terrence Mitchell, both guys like
Oh shit!
could
Obi-Wan Kenobi the pillow.
completely not be in the UFC, to be honest. And yeah, then he fought an actual fighter, a very good fighter in Rodriguez, who we saw in action last week and was amazing. And yeah, he got the bitch shit out of him. And Talbot looked like Saimon, but without the gimmicky like blitzes, and he was way bigger. Like Talbot is a large dude for 135.
Yep.
And he seems like immortal as well.
There were a lot of like times where Talbot's offense was just like, and also like a way more powerful fighter. Because I think the first knockdown comes off of like a Condit Dan Hardy like simultaneous left hook, and Talbot's head doesn't move at all, and Saman goes like flying across the octagon. Part of
Yeah.
it is that Saman is like he's moving in and shifting while he gets
Yeah.
hit with it, but also like Talbot like did not register that hit at all.
No, so Saman was, and Saman has can crack, so Talbot made him look like worse here because he has a fucking chin for sure. He's getting hit super clean at times, and he looked like wobbly a couple of times. Because he was getting hit like with absurd shit, but most of the time he just tanks everything. His contender series fight was like him having zero defense and just not giving a shit. Like,
Yeah, this his def like he sometimes has a thing where you're like wondering if the way that he throws his punches is giving him like, sometimes guys have like those weird like forward guards, and sometimes stuff
yeah.
glances off of it, and you're like, okay, maybe he's doing like a little bit of that, and then you like see the actual exchange, and he's just getting hit completely flush.
And it's nothing happening to him. Like,
No, he doesn't give a shit. He's like a very cool strike selection,
yeah.
and very good at like when he got Saman hurt. I guess it's becoming. It used to be super common in MMA. Super common in MMA, and it's less so now, where guys would like just flurry against the high guard and get nothing done and hope for a stoppage. And less common now, but he very much doesn't do that. He was fucking ripping to the body,
Yeah, Talbot
which was very
has
nice.
a lot of cool ideas for sure. I think he needs like more like connective tissue. I wish he had like a more consistent jab, maybe some setup for low kicks. But if you allow him to do shit, he's going to do like crazy cool shit. He doesn't fight much like Sean O'Malley, and he's getting compared a lot with O'Malley. But they have that thing in common where they actually like can't think of cool stuff in the moment that makes sense. And if you allow them to freestyle on you, they're going to fuck you up like so
They're gonna
bad.
make you look really stupid
Yeah.
and also hurt you.
Yeah, so Talbot, a lot of potential, but I think, and this is not me being a hater, I think I wasn't like not super sold on Talbot. I like him a lot more after this fight. But I don't think 135 is a division where you can tell this is a future champion this early. Like, the division
He
is
could like yeah, he could
way
turn
too
into something
insane.
way better than he is right now, too.
Yeah,
Isn't he
yeah.
super young? He's what, like 20 something?
Like, but for example, if you show me O'Malley in Contender Series right now, I would still tell you that's not a sure pick for a champion.
No, not even for a champion. I honestly, like, I think if you, like, for real watch his Contender Series fight, at least the first one that got, I don't know if he had multiple, but the one that got him famous with the Snoop Dogg commentary.
No, yeah, that's...
He's, like, bad. Like, actually kind of bad in that fight.
Yeah, he would not beat, like, anyone in the top 15 looking like that.
No, not a chance.
Like, so, yeah, and I think Talbot right now is better than O'Malley there.
Yeah.
But I also think that O'Malley was, like, was having probably a more coherent game, though. Like, Talbot...
Yeah.
Talbot seems, like, cooler and has, like, more solid ideas, but I think the game of O'Malley made more sense. It's just that the game of O'Malley needed a lot more skills that he didn't have back then, and now he does, so he's, like, very good now.
That's a good point, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I would not bet on anyone unless they look like Peter Yan when he made it to the UFC, because he was, like... insane right off the bat, like,
yeah,
but he was, like, way
and also,
more experienced,
like, very proven against, like, real competition.
Yeah he was fighting, like, real competition, and I'm sure, like, Talbot was fighting Cans, like, not long ago. He has been fighting, like, decent competition for his level of experience, but he only has, like, 8 fights. So he hasn't fought anywhere close, like, actual UFC level until right now. And Simon is not, like, super high in the on the hierarchy of the division. But, yeah, cool for...
He's, like, cool at the bottom of, like, current UFC, which is lower than it used to be.
Yeah. But Talbot is cool. Simon is also cool. Like, he's not going to amount to anything. But he will be in cool fights. He's super young, so maybe he will move to featherweight in the future and will look more physical. Huh?
He looks tiny. He's so small.
Yeah, he's so thin, but maybe he can pack on like 10 pounds of juicy sauce. I don't know. Yeah, he looks super tiny, but he's like 5'8", so maybe being that skinny is like playing against him. I don't know. The frame is small for sure, though, so...
Get him at flyweight, I say.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if he's like quick enough to be there. He's just like, he's so small.
Yeah, he looks weak in the clinch. Like, he looked weak against Talbot and also against Rodriguez. Rodriguez missed weight, by the way, because he's a king that misses weight all the time. But, but yeah, he was getting bullied on both these fights. Yusuf Salal came back to the UFC, and he fought Billy Q. I was very excited for this fight, but Billy Q didn't really show up. He got this.
He looked like shit, man.
He looked so bad, yeah. Like, this is not hating on Yusuf Salal. I've been saying, like, I love Yusuf Salah, but I do not think that Billy Quarantillo looked any good in this fight.
Mm-mm.
He looked super slow. The volume was not there. I'm sure there's someone out there, like, saying, oh, the volume wasn't there because Salah was, like, moving and feigning and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no, because Billy was, like, whiffing. He was fine whiffing on his stuff. He was fine throwing those, like, shifting, like, swimming, you know, overhand hook things. And those only really work if you're actually, like, overwhelming your opponent. He didn't seem, like, super... Yeah, it was just one of those things where he's not a guy that's discouraged by whiffing. So I don't think that's usually a good reason for thinking that his volume was
low. He has never cared about that, like...
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Quarantino looked bad, I thought Salah looked great.
Yeah, like, super cool performance.
Fantastic, yeah. Because one of the few guys that actually know how to move on the outside and use footwork to set up shots, and he did that very well here with the jab, with the leg kicks, and the fly knees that Salah has been like a trademark for him. Everything was working. And then he showed the grappling chops, and very impressive because Quarantillo is a very good grappler. And I tend to think that guys, even when they look super bad, the grappling tend to be more consistent than the striking. So it was very surprising to see Salal submitting Quarantillo. Also, I'm glad that Salal decided to move like to 145 and get bigger, because like way too big for 135.
Yeah, no, that's... Wow, was he really trying to make...
He did, successfully did 135 for his last fight in the UFC before getting cut.
Oh, yeah, Damon Blackshear. Okay, that's... Yeah. Wow, he had, like, decent output in that. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, I don't get it, how these guys do it, to be honest.
Bizarre.
I mean, Talbot also has, like, insane output, and he's also huge for 135, so... So, yeah, cool to have Salal back. And I hope Billy Q can rebound now after this one, because he's very cool when he's on. We have Fernando Padilla against Luis Pajuelo in a Latinox bout. And I thought Padilla was like super annoying in his fight against Erosa, but he looked pretty cool here, I gotta admit.
This was sick, yeah.
I wanna hate on him, but really can't. He looked very cool here. Pajuelo is very cool and tried to do cool things, but he was getting hit so hard.
Yeah, he had like the right ideas for this kind of opponent too.
Except he was like resetting, and you don't actually want to reset against a guy that's way longer than you.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew when he was like taking those big breaks, I was like, yeah, I like the body shots, I like some of the ideas, but you're probably getting shoe up at distance.
You need to stay in his face.
Yeah, you need. And he is like a pressure guy, but I feel like he's like those guys that need to get going with like with time. And he didn't get that, because Padilla, to his credit, is like sharp out of the gate. Like the striking mechanics might not be super good, but he's accurate and he throws hit like immediately. And the transition to the darts was fucking sick. So yeah, cool showcase, cool for Padilla.
Also, he was also doing the... not a lot of guys do this, and I'm sure there's plenty of reasons why. I think it's easier to get away with if you're super tall. But he was doing that like lean away body kick when Pajuelo was coming in. Just thought that was neat.
Yeah, Pajuelo looked for a huge body shot at one moment that was cool, but those with no setup, those are very risky against a long guy, and against a long guy that can counter punch like Padilla. So Padilla getting into the ranks of the lanky fox at 145 and 155 that I don't actually hate, because I hate most of those.
Yeah, he's also like when Pajuelo like decided to actually commit to the pressure, but he was able to sit down on his shots and commit to backing him off, which is a thing that a ton of lanky fighters just refuse to do, and it ends up really fucking them over. That's usually the thing, like that and like tall guy defense are the two things that really make lanky guys super annoying to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with Padilla. I'll keep an eye on the next one. Pajuelo, hopefully he gets like a more manageable matchup on the next one, because I think he's a lot of fun to watch when he gets going.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Ogden fought Kurt Holobaugh, who has been cursed and is never going to win a UFC fight except that tough final that he won not long ago.
This fight was poop from a butt. I think
Holobaugh looks so bad here, and small too. Trey Ogden is a big dude though. Yeah, Trey Ogden is jacked.
Holobaugh has the frame to be a really jacked 155er, but if he doesn't have he's not strong enough at all to be at 155, and I guess that's amplified by Ogden being a hoss.
But yeah, he got tossed so bad.
if Kurt doesn't have some measurable length advantage, that's often a real problem. It's not the only way he loses, but it is a problem.
Yeah, but the most surprising thing was that he was looking so weak during tie-ups.
And he also really looked... getting more tired during them too.
Yeah. And despite that, it's still not a good performance. Mm-mm. Like, I would get it if, like, Ogden was, like, finding, like, super crafty, like, takedowns, but Kurt was serving him takedowns, and especially because he couldn't defend shit, so he was not putting himself in any kind of position. I don't know, I think he got, like, kind of nervous after the first takedown, and he yes, fell apart, 100%. I feel, because he started fighting like dumb.
He was
the first takedown was neat by Ogden. Like, mm-hmm. that was like a cool setup. Like, he shoot under, he timed it well. Krukhova tried to defend, but he was like, Ogden was twice his size, so he couldn't do shit.
Yeah.
But then the next ones, Ogden it was realized like a really that
slow outside trip.
Yeah. Ogden realized I can do whatever to this tiny little dude.
Yeah. He also, like, half the fight was kind of just Ogden, like, hanging out in half guard. Without, like, he wasn't really doing much ground and pound, and he wasn't really doing that much to advance. Which, you know, you're winning the fight, I guess, but...
Yeah, Ogden is, I don't hate him, but he's kind of lame. He's kind of lame in the term that you use in fighting games, that he just does what he has to do to win.
Right.
And not like anything else.
I will say there is a part, I think it's the end of round two, where Kurt, like, still has half guard, but he's, like, moving to shrimp. He kind of wants to get his hips free, and he just gets stuck there, and Ogden just kind of punches him in the face for, I'm like, genuinely a full minute. I was, like, kind of checked out while watching it, and then that started happening. I was like, is he gonna move? It just kept going.
Yeah, very bad performance by Holloway. I hope he gets one more chance to win a fight.
Yeah, I don't think he will, though. He's my guy, though.
Ogden, he's, like, kind of feeling that role of Christos Giagos, of being, like, just a host that can actually wrestle the 155 without having a wrestling background. Mm-hmm. Giagos also is still there, but it's cool to have another one, I guess.
He looks like Michael Chiesa in the face.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
That's my big Ogden comment.
That's the Ogden opinion to have. Julian Urosa fought Ricardo Ramos. Ricardo Ramos has decided that his new gimmick is, instead of spinning elbows, that he still does part-time, his new gimmick is just, like, shooting awful takedowns and getting guillotined. Like, that was such a bad takedown.
That was, yeah, very ill-advised, too. Like, I mean, no real reason.
Yeah, he was, like, pushing forward. It wasn't, like, a great setup or anything. And Rosa is a guy that actually has a guillotine, so...
Yeah, a lot of guys have, like, fake guillotines. And even then, if you're Ramos and you just lost to... Charles Jourdain. Yeah. Maybe rethink that. And also, like, if you're beating the shit out of Urosa, kind of, maybe rethink that.
He was, like,
that. So
winning on the feet.
Really don't understand that. Also, Urosa, like, less flabby than I remembered. Not sure why that was.
Urosa actually, like, sick physique for a super lanky dude.
Yeah.
Like, he has a huge back. I respect that. What I do not respect is him being, like, a fucking moron.
Calling it, like... And, like, that's some shit from, like, 2019, too. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you... Whatever.
let's not get into that. But yeah, Ricardo Ramos, a moron as well, because he told on a guillotine in a round that he was tenating Rosa, so...
Yeah.
Miles Jones versus Cody Gibson was, like, a cool fight on paper, and it was, like, very frustrating for both guys, but especially by Cody Gibson, he looked like shit here.
He looked like if Tim Elliott, like, wasn't a good wrestler. Like, doing all this, like, weird bend at the waist
shit.
Give
me Tim Elliott, but only the striking? Like, who the fuck says that? Like,
like, what kind of fighter even is that, and how does he win?
That's a fighter that doesn't have like winning conditions, like
yes, yeah.
Like even when Elliot lands an overhand, it's because he has the takedown
yes,
threat.
Yes, like, literally, yeah. And also like, wasn't avoiding the strikes from Johns like basically at all.
No, and Gibson in his last run, like against like John Dodson in the Ultimate Fighter fights against Katona, like super sleek footwork and head movement. Nothing of that in this fight. Just moving straight back the whole time.
Also getting hit by uppercuts constantly by a guy that's like 3 inches shorter than you.
Yeah, you're like, for the standards of bantamweight, you're like 6'9", and you're getting uppercut like the whole fight.
You're getting uppercutted by a bantamweight with good legs, which is how you know Miles Johns is not.
It's very short. Yeah, yeah, it does. 5'5" ass, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was and the worst thing is that Miles Johns himself didn't look great in this one.
No, he did not.
He got like super tired, but Cody Gibson also got tired for some reason. Like
Cody Gibson like had his back for like 15 seconds and then got reversed and looked like he was drowning immediately. It was bizarre. Also, I don't think, and maybe this is, you know, limited experience grappling. I don't think I've ever seen someone get like stacked really hard from side control. Like Johns did to Gibson in this fight. It was very, like, usually side control is like in MMA, it tends to be kind of like a transitional.
Yeah.
Space.
I mean, Johns is like an actual wrestler and very strong,
yes,
but,
that's true,
but
yeah.
It was still weird to see, yeah.
He was just like, I'm going to put you like a can crusher.
Yeah, between
fucking
Johns.
Side control.
Between Johns and Ogden, it was a good night for host guys.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we have a cool fight. Jarno Ahrens fought Steven Wen. And it was very cool. I mean, Steven Wen got beat on this fight, like, very bad.
Yes.
But he remained, like, competitive enough to make it cool.
Once he found the jab, and that kind of really slowed Ahrens down, like, once they were a little bit at jab parity, kind of managed to make it an even fight in round two. But near the end of every round, he was just kind of getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, Ahrens was, like, pairing, like he was like doing the stepping jab and then putting the right hand afterwards, but he was mixing it very well, using the like nasty straight right to the body, then going upstairs, and then he mixed the uppercut when one's like folding to avoid the body shots, and it was a very cool mix up. And Ahrens was throwing heat, like he was throwing so hard, and the cardio held up very well for Ahrens, to be honest, because he was throwing like very hard with a very high volume. He was both guys like very quick kickers too. Wen was getting going with the jab at times, especially when he was like finishing combinations with the jab. That was very cool.
Yeah. I think Wen had like a he has like that front kick, and it has it had like it was a quick kick once it was actually out, but it kind of had a really long wind up. Which is, I thought it was kind of weird. I guess it makes, like, it's fine, because he retracts it very quick, and when it's actually going, it's very fast. But it reminded me of, shout out to everybody here who watches American football, but it reminded me of Tim Tebow's throwing motion, where it just, like, it's behind him for what feels like 30 seconds, and then it's suddenly out of his hands.
Yeah. It was... And then the other cool thing is that then at the third round when was forced like to pressure, Ahrens looked actually pretty good on the back foot too. So that kind of versatility can be like very helpful, especially because he was so ahead. And he has lost a bit of pop in his punches, so maybe the finish was not quite there. But he did a very good job of like just picking his spots, moving his feet well, and just attacking with big combinations with what was left of his energy. It was a very good performance, to be honest.
I was gonna say, do you think that Ahrens is like? I thought he fights like a guy who has more power than he does.
Yeah, he's just very confident in throwing super hard. And right. I think that's a good quality to have. If you can keep up with the volume and with the cardio, I think that's like a good thing, to be honest. I think some guys could afford to throw harder more often. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem that some fighters do. I think, for example, Namajunas could have tried to hit Amanda like harder a few times.
Yeah.
That's another thing about the main event. I don't think like Rose was ever trying to hit her like for a knockout or something. And you need to mix some of those like big shots in between.
Right.
Yeah. They are so useful.
Especially if you're like a decent hitter too.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't see why would you not do that. But yeah, I mean, good performance for Evans. I think he's a cool addition. I mean, he's been on the UFC, but he finally got a win. And I'm glad he gets to stay in the UFC. Wen also looks like cool and a cool addition. So yeah, I mean, this was great. What wasn't great was that fight between Daria Selezniakova and Montserrat Rendon. Didn't really watch much of this one. I started playing Sudoku like 2 minutes in. To be honest,
just before we get into it, if we do it all, what do you think is the height difference between those two ladies?
I know this is a trick question, so I'm going to say that Selezniakova is only an inch taller.
Yeah, they're listed as an inch apart.
But Rendon was fighting like super hunched over, and she didn't look like she had any reach because she was never jabbing.
Yes. Also, Daria was like letting herself get hunched in the clinch a whole bunch, which was very weird to see. Just they both spun so many times. I do think the UFC needs to like, you need to have like three fights before you're allowed to do a spinning back fist, because you see it so much on prelims now.
You need to be put down if you spin too much during a fight.
Like. Yeah. Not... Yeah. Whatever.
I like...
Rendon has, like, no idea. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have rolled my R that hard.
No. Go ahead. Go hard.
Yeah, she had, like, no entry game at all. She had no idea how to close the distance, and it never got any better. The only reason she got any offense off was because Daria likes to really overstep on her jab and just not use her reach at all. Or, I mean, she is, you know, she's trying to use her reach. She's just not doing it.
And also, you informed me before the podcast that Daria threw zero kicks this fight.
Zero kicks. Zero. I don't understand how you, like, walk into an MMA gym with that build and they're just like, well, you know, we'll get you. Let's teach this lady how to box.
I don't know if she. Also, the very funny part is that she has like kickboxer boxing.
Yes, exactly.
I would get it if she had like a super like cool boxing style. Like she was very heavy on the front foot and she was sleeping shots and had a great left hook. But she's just
so
like,
what you're saying you want her to be Irene Aldana.
Yeah. But instead of that, Aldana kicks a fair amount.
I was going to say, yeah.
But Selezniakova, on the other hand, she's like, stands super tall, moves around on the outside, and only throws 1-2s.
Yep.
And spins.
Yeah, bizarre. I just, whatever
bizarre
gym
award,
she's at.
Aldana, yeah.
Whatever gym she's at, don't go there, I guess, is the takeaway.
White Russians keep taking L's.
So
you could say the fight before that had bite to it.
I gotta go. Work to do. I'm busy. Yeah. My friends are calling me.
My dog is dying.
Yeah, he ate my homework.
So Andre Lima fought Igor Severino, and during the first round, this fight was fucking sick. Like,
so
both guys were looking great.
Both guys throwing those, like, step-in vertical elbows that, like,
yeah,
you never see in MMA.
Lima intercepting with an upward elbow, like, that was fucking great. And Severino landed also an elbow in that same sequence, like...
Yeah, it's, like, same.
And both guys were, like, mixing takedowns, foot sweeps, going to the body with the left hook, and that, it was great.
Who was it that went for the omoplata? Oh, no, it was Lima, and I know this because in my notes it says that he grabbed the cage to try to get the omoplata in deeper,
grabbing the cage during the omoplata is such a classic.
So funny.
It's maybe my favorite foul of the move. It's such a cool move.
I think my favorite foul is, and I think he did it in this fight, it was... he grabbed the fence because he was, like, it was in a clinch, and he grabbed the fence to, like, get leverage for a knee. I'm, like, miming it right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a great foul, too.
That's a Saperback Seperov foul, if I've ever seen one.
Everything was great. But then, I know, I guess Severino was getting mad because Lima was grabbing the cage so much. So he started holding the shorts of Lima. And he was on a back body lock, and he was grabbing the shorts, like, super deep, like, from under. And then, for whatever reason, he just took a bite of the triceps of Andre Lima.
On the rewatch, I was trying to figure out, like, when he lost his mouth guard, because there's no way you can make that bite mark without it, and he just didn't. He had his fucking does that happen? I don't understand.
Yeah, without a mouth guard, that would have looked disgusting. To be honest, the only thing that prevented him from taking a piece of Lima home was the mouth guard. Yeah.
Maybe he was mad about being 20 years old and having to wear double ankle wraps to a fight.
Yeah, on that Dominic Cruz grind when you're 20.
Plantar fasciitis.
Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, Andre Lima wins by a disqualification.
Severino can go be awesome in Bellator now, I guess.
Yeah, Severino's cut from the UFC, Dana White announced it, and then they made the broadcast team say so during the main card for some reason.
It's awesome.
And then Dana White gave Andre Lima, like, I got beat bonus or something stupid like that. And
it
then
was
Andre
supposed
Lima...
to be 25... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and then Andre Lima went... and got a tattoo of the bite of the bite mark instead of going to that doctor.
I think the story was it was supposed to be a 25,000 bonus.
Nah, and he gave him like extra 25 for the tattoo. Yeah, insane behavior, man.
Some of the most MMA stuff we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Beautiful, excellent. Perfect. Shithousery. A perfect 10 out of 10 experience, I would say.
Especially if you're on the Apex, like, you deserve that.
Yes. A young guy with too many injuries, very awesome offense. One of the guys, like, just kind of avoided defensively. Weird promotional shithousery, constant fouling that, like, isn't addressed until it's, like,
too late.
Completely obvious and outrageous. Unilateral decisions by both an athletic commission and the owner of the UFC. It had everything.
This is what UFC is about, baby.
This is what people are going to tell you. It's about honor, it's about respect, or it's about
fighting. No, it's about Andre Lima versus Igor Severino. Yes.
Exactly, yes. It's about Saperback Saperov versus Nikolai Negomariano.
It's about Ed Herman versus... You know which one, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Both guys super fat, like.
Yeah, is that the one where Ed Herman tries to throw a guy and he goes?
Yeah, and it's also the one that you made me clip because Ed Herman threw a knee and he fell down.
Yeah. God, I love MMA.
Yeah, the opener. Talking about MMA, the opener was Mick Barkin against Mohamed Usman. And the fight wasn't very interesting, so I will talk about, like, other shit. Like, it's funny because Mohamed Usman is clearly, like, very small frame for heavyweight, but
yes. He's
jacked as shit. And Mick Barkin looks like he should be small for heavyweight because he looks kind of fat. And then he's fucking huge.
He's so big, yeah.
Like, his back is fucking enormous, and he's like... He's like 6'3" or what? The meat pack is so big.
He's like very wide, too. Not in like the fat... I mean, yes, in the fat way, but also in like the shoulders.
No, from the back, he has like a V-taper for some reason.
it's weird to see a V-taper and then like a huge muffin top. Amazing. Usman like doesn't know how to strike yet.
No, he throws very hard. And
he throws very hard. The like his biggest piece of offense was like a missed overhand, and then he just threw an overhand again.
Yeah, and then he would try to do like that like Woodley Masvidal like shifting overhand, and he tried that like a million times. And also, he hurt Nick Parkin once with that.
He's throwing it as like a Superman punch almost, like in a way that like Masvidal's like isn't. Do you know what I mean? Like it was.
Yeah, he's not covering like any ground with it.
Yeah, he's like, it's more like he's pushing off of a rear foot and going in the air versus like shifting while he's throwing it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just bizarre. It's a weird thing to implement into your game when you like don't know how to strike.
Like that works for Masvidal because he has a jab.
Yes, it's like it's just a very funny like third like a funny strike to learn as like the third thing that you do on the feet.
And to be honest, during the whole fight, it looked like if Mick Parkin just tried a bit harder, he could have, like, cooked the shit out of Usman.
I think the speed and power really scared him a little bit.
And then he decided not to. Like, it was a lame performance, but Mick Parkin looked kind of solid. But he really needs more output, to be honest.
Yeah. And also, like, it's kind of easy to look that like that against an opponent where, like, every time Usman strikes, he's like leading with his head, and he can only get offense off by like leaping in or like falling over himself, over committing. And if he doesn't do either of those things, you don't have to like take the strike seriously, like at all.
Yeah. And some people were scoring the third round for Usman. Usman was very mad about the decision, for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, he's like insanely mad. That's
awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess I can kind of forgive that in a fight where you rocked the guy. Like, I don't think it's good.
Yeah, like, maybe you lose track after that, like...
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, you know, you go back and watch it and you feel differently, but in the moment, in a fight where you did, you know, rock your opponent in the first round, I guess it's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. And then the third round, he threw a lot, even if he was not, like, landing shit. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's okay. So yeah, that was the event. Some cool stuff, but kind of mid overall. We have some fight announcements to talk about. Quite a few, actually. Let's begin with we have Alexander Volkov versus Jailton Almeida on UFC 302, the one that's happening in Brazil. And yeah, it's either Jailton gets to do his shit or Volkov is going to kill him.
Yeah, this feels kind of soon to get another Jailton announcement, doesn't it?
Yeah, he got... It wasn't like... He got killed in his last fight.
Yeah, it was like the first shot was like, you know, bad, but, you know, nothing crazy for heavyweight. And then there was just like a lot of follow-up.
Yeah, the ref just let Jailton die in that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very weird, actually. What else we have? Edson Barbosa is fighting Lerone Murphy. This one is probably not happening. Lerone Murphy is not actually a real fighter. but if he was, this would be a very good fight.
Lerone Murphy is undefeated? What the fuck?
He's super cool and never fights.
I was going to say, I'm looking at his record, and I'm like, I remember every single one of these fights getting announced because I was excited for all of them, I think. Like, but even back to...
I think it is good matchmaking, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it happens. Edson clearly still has something left in the tank. So yeah, I mean, this is good use of him, I think. What else? Cody Durden is fighting Carlos Hernandez. Carlos Hernandez is kind of mean, and he throws hard. And he's... I mean, I like Carlos Hernandez. He had that sick finish that got overturned because of a headbutt. Do you remember that? He was, like, beating the shit out of another guy. This is flyweight. And he got, like, a body lock takedown. And then got, like, the follow-up ground pound. And then they told him, like, no, it was a headbutt. When... They always permit those headbutts on the slams. Yeah.
Was that Bondar?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was that one, yeah. He fucked him up so bad. Like,
oh, yes.
It was a great finish, too. Like, fantastic. So, yeah, but I think Cody Durden is going to wrestle him and be lame as fuck. Adrian Yanez is fighting Vinicio Salvador. I think they're trying to get Adrian a win here. Salvador looked very cool in his Contender Series fight, but it was against that Australian guy that loses in, like, in 5 seconds against everyone. So that win aged so badly because he actually had a war with him.
Oh, wow. 17 seconds. My goodness.
Yeah, it's been rough for Ross lately. So yeah, I mean, good for Yanez, I guess. Adam Fugit is fighting Josh Quinlan, and this is such
Let's
a welterweight fight. The most welterweight fight of them all.
I always forget that Fugit is a welterweight.
Both of these guys, like, such middleweight energy, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, this is not the most welterweight fight. This is the most middleweight fight that you can make at welterweight.
I think it's beautiful that the UFC is just trying their best to make the entire promotion middleweight.
Be middleweight, yeah. They're trying so hard.
And you know what? You can't say they are not succeeding.
This one is gross and very weird, but I think it's going to rule. Alex Caceres is fighting Sean Woodson.
Where, like, Alex Caceres is, like, old as shit, and he's never been good. But he's also, like, I always forget that he's, like, pretty dynamic.
He's, like, kind of good, but not good, but good.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you feel like this is going to be one of those things where, like, the range is super weird for Woodson? Like, having a guy that, like, is kicky and isn't crazy uncomfortable being at the distance? Like, I don't...
Yeah, actually I'm having second thoughts. And despite both these guys being, like, exciting most of the time, I think this one has a high chance of sucking ass. Mm-hmm. Like... like both guys being very uncomfortable with each other out there. Like,
it's weird how, like, he's a stent, like, his whole thing is being zen or whatever, and Alex Caceres is, like, sometimes he looks like he's having fun, but a lot of the time he just looks uncomfortable, and not quite to the same degree where, like, some guys get in there and you can tell they're just having the worst night of their lives.
No, it's not like he's hating his life, but it's like he's not figuring out shit, like...
Yeah, like, he wants to... He like, sees something, but he can't quite figure out how to do anything with it.
He has, like, a janky game because Alex Caceres can, like, decently box, but his kicking game is, like, this side-on karate shit that doesn't connect with his boxing at all. And also, he's, like, a decent grappler, but his wrestling is kind of funky, too. Sean Woodson is a lot better put together, I feel. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure how he deals with, like, a long kicker that is going to commit to the beat for the whole thing. So,
right.
It's going to be weird, I think. Ismael Bonfim, who is back to being the good Bonfim after his brother got killed by Dalby. He's fighting Vince Pichel, and I feel like I've been waiting for Vince Pichel to look old and shot for the last, like, 5 years, and it never happens. He's like always the same guy. So I think this is a good fight if it happens.
Wow. Only 17 pro fights. That's crazy.
He's been around Michelle?
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he has spent most of his career in the UFC, right? Like
yeah, since he was 6-0. He was on Tough and then just UFC ever since. In 2012.
That's crazy. I remember his fight with Rustam Kavilov. He got suplexed like 7 times. And then during a fall of a suplex, his thumb got deattached. So, no, that was another Rustam Kavilov fight. He just got like suplexed and killed. It was amazing, yeah. And then I thought Kavilov was going to be great. And he turned into like the worst fighter of all time.
It's funny how long Ryan liked him.
Did he like him for a long time?
Or wait, am I being racist? I think I might be being racist. My fault.
No, I mean, he's from over there, so it's safe to say Ryan liked him. Over there, yeah. Remember when Kamilov moved up to welterweight and looked like shit and still want to fight?
You betcha. Cajun Johnson, baby. Oh, wait, no, that was lightweight.
No, yeah. And that was once kind of like, yeah. Nate Maness, who is like a flyweight that is like tall and hits hard, is fighting Jimmy Flick. And this one is weird because Jimmy Flick is like the slowest flyweight in the roster. But he has some skills. And Nate Maness doesn't really grapple, but he can box pretty well despite being like this super lanky dude. So it's kind of interesting. Talking about flyweight, Alex Perez is supposedly fighting Tahir Ulambekov. After seeing like Alex Perez versus Mokaev, I think he should fuck Tahir up because Tahir is like budget Mokaev. But I mean, he's a way better striker, but Mokaev is such a better wrestler that it doesn't matter.
Right. You need to be basically a different fighter for that to work.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hope Alex Perez is like a thing again because he's very cool. And he was a fake fighter for so long.
Yeah, it was a shame because like basically his last fight for a long time was that who's the guy with the enormous head that he just beat the fucking shit out of?
It's Joe B, my boy.
No.
No, the last fight for Alex Perez was the Pantoja one for a long time. When Pantoja
it was the Fig fight, and then a million canceled fights, and then the Pantoja fight.
Yeah.
And then he didn't fight until Mokaev. The one I'm thinking of is Jose Torres. That's such a lie. He had a bunch of fights right after that.
Yeah, that fight's great though. Alex Perez
that fight's so
Shorty
sick.
Torres is so sick, yeah.
And then the Benavidez fight is the worst stoppage of all time, maybe.
He got stopped like 20 times.
Yeah, because the ref touched Benavidez and pulled him off and then told him, actually, no, he's not done yet.
Tim Means is fighting Uros Medic. Weird fight. I feel like Uros Medic is going to fuck Tim Means up because Tim Means is very old. And Uros Medic actually looked good in his welterweight debut, so.
Was so it sucks. Semmelsberger? Huh?
Yeah,
that was Semmelsberger?
He fucked Semmelsberger up. I mean, everyone does, but.
That's true. And then he lost to some guy.
Semmelsberger is so bad at winning fights.
He's
so cool, like, but he cannot win fights at all.
Oh yeah, didn't we talk about him on our last fight where we were
I think we did.
Where it was like he's like cool and he like looks like he's gonna be a good fighter and then you're just like he's a loser.
He refuses to be a good fighter. Yeah.
Okay.
This one is very funny because Ryan Spann is fighting Bogdan Guskov. That is that bald guy that looks like Russian Alex Smith. So. It's like Ryan Spann can pretend that he's getting revenge on Anthony Smith, but Guskov is maybe going to like knock him out because he's like budget Jiří Procházka or something.
Everyone at light heavyweight is budget somebody else.
Yeah. Ryan Spann himself, he's like budget. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's like budget OSP or like Jamal Hill or I don't know. This is getting kind of into racist territory, so I'm very sure.
I was
going
to say, I was like, I
should have included a white guy in between.
Yeah. And also, I think Ryan Spann's skull is a little bit too different of a shape from those other guys. So.
Okay, yeah, we're getting into that.
Oh, my bad. My fault.
Jose Aldo is taking on Martinez in UFC 302. That's a thing that's going to happen. Not the worst matchup, but I'm still very scared, to be honest, for Aldo. Like,
yeah.
Aldo is like the one guy that can defend kicks well, but old guys hate getting kicked. And
he also looked like shit in his boxing stuff, in ways that I feel like that we've seen.
Yeah, he looked very good technically, but he looked like he's not like thinking very fast, and that's very dangerous against a guy that is just going to spam left kicks all night. So, but if he wins, I'm going to be so hyped.
Oh yeah, he'll be even more the GOAT.
Okay, one last one that is very important before we go into the next event. Waldo Cortez Acosta is fighting Robelis de Spain. What are your thoughts on that one?
I'm thinking. I'm not Googling his name right now. I'm thinking with my brain. Yes. Okay. Robelis is the huge guy that asked everybody to follow him on Instagram, right?
The taekwondo guy, yeah.
Yes. And then this guy had the worst fight ever with Andrei Arlovsky.
Yeah.
Which is a thing everybody does. Yeah. But
see, you know both.
I will say, it is almost impressive to win a bad fight with Andrei Arlovsky. Like, you should knock Andrei Arlovsky out. However, if you make it to the decision of like the worst fight ever with Andrei Arlovsky, usually he wins that. And I think people argued that he should have, and I don't. Who gives a shit? But you know, there's something to be said, I guess. I don't know. You know what? I'm abandoning this. Actually, fuck you, Waldez. You lost to all this shit, Andrei Arlovsky, and you're gonna get knocked out by a 6'9" guy that doesn't know how to box.
He does not know how to box, like, at all.
he knows how to fight.
That's the best part, completely.
And he's from Cuba!
yeah, but he was a taekwondo guy, so... Yeah. Okay, let's get into the next event, because this one is getting kind of long, I guess, but I'm having fun, so if no one likes it, it's not my problem. the main event is Erin Blanchfield versus Oman Onfiewo, and it's like very high stakes at 125, and it's actually a good fight. It's very old school fight that it's like very rare that nowadays in the UFC we have like a completely like grappler versus striker main event. But there we go. I mean, Blanchfield is not useless on the feet. Onfiewo has looked like a competent wrestler, so, but still, you know what?
Right.
Each of these girls want to do so. But I don't know. I'm not expecting this fight to be great, like action wise, or be very exciting. But it's obvious that this is the fight that needs to be made. And I think I'm pretty sure I'm favoring whoever wins this one to beat the champion. Whoever wins between Alexa and Valentina, who are fighting again, by the way, for some reason. So, I mean, it sucks because both Fiora and Blanchfield are good fighters. And this one is like, I'm all in favor of this being a main event, but I don't think this is like a great fight to watch. Like, it's one of these girls is going to have their way and it's going to win like hard, I feel. But it's okay. It's okay. I support this being a main event over like random heavyweights. I'm so sick of that shit. Like, at least this is super relevant. So this fight needs to happen.
needs to be 5 rounds too.
Yeah, that's right. That they deserve it to be 5 rounds instead of like fighting five rounds for the first time of their life against the champion. That's
it's
so
such
silly.
A disadvantage. It's bananas when they book a fight like that.
Co-main event is the ghost of the corpse of Vicente Luque, and he's fighting Joaquin Buckley, and they're like clearly trying to get Buckley a win here. I feel.
Over someone with a name, yeah.
He may be going to get it, but I'm not like 100% sure. Like, I'm not sure he's going to get a knockout, but probably on output. I think Luque is like not so willing to get into wars anymore, and for good reason. This is a fight that if this was like Luque like 3 years ago, I would pick him to murder Joaquin Buckley.
Yes.
Like.
How did he look against RDA? I never watched that.
He looked very lost against the Southpaw, and then he remembered that he was like 20 pounds bigger and wrestled him.
Wait, you win that?
Yeah, he win that.
Okay.
He wrestled RDA.
Beast man.
I mean, RDA did not adjust, and he was shooting for takedowns, and Luque was sprawling on him and being way bigger and then turning him around
right.
against the cage, so yeah. Because Luque is so fucking big.
He's so huge, and like very strong.
Buckley is also insanely big, so... So yeah, I mean, I feel like Buckley's not going to get like the highly real knockout that some people think,
no.
But I think he's going to win on volume. Oh, because Luque is like not getting the timing on his left hook anymore, and that was Luque, like having timing on the left hook was like 50% of him as a fighter. So.
Yeah, the rest is the anaconda chokes and the low kicks.
But yeah, maybe Luque shows up, or maybe Luque just wrestles him. That would be very fun. Talking about fights that are not funny, are very depressing. Bruno Silva is fighting Chris Weidman.
The All-American.
The All-American, yeah.
Oh, wow. Bruno Silva lost to...
Charaputin, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, got a lot of takedowns and did nothing from top position, despite having, like, great ground pound. That's, like, such a big sign that you're shot. Like, when you don't do that thing that you're very good at anymore.
Right.
It's very funny because Silva never went for takedowns, just, like, found himself on top position after sprawls and shit. And he would just murder people with ground pound, with the nasty ground pound, too, because he used to fight a lot in Russia. And he adapted like to the meta, so he's a lot of like wrist control and just smashing you. And then he fought Charaputin, who was like super bad off his back, and he did not do anything from top position. Chris Weidman tried very hard against Tavares, but did not succeed. Tavares looked very bad, but he still defended takedowns
like
very well. Yeah.
So
yeah, do you think Silva is going to hit Weidman like insanely hard and kill him?
Yes.
Or is Weidman like just going to find takedowns and win like the worst decision from top position?
I think I like the only thing Chris Weidman can win fights with is like making it the worst fight of all time. But that only happens when the opponent is like a disaster, and like doesn't know that Chris Weidman is old as shit, and also what if their opponent doesn't have any power at all. And I
do you
know
how long the Akhmedov fight was?
It was
3.5 years ago.
Really?
That's insane. And Weidman was looking like so done.
He looked so bad in that. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh my fucking god.
And Bruno Silva, to his credit,
God.
he knocked out Tavares like less than a year ago. So.
Oh no! I you know, my pick for this fight, you know, obviously I'm not insane, so I picked Chris Weidman to get finished. But man, that really puts things into perspective. Fuck, dude. He's gonna die.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Nursultan Rusiboyev, who is like this insanely tall guy from Uzbekistan, is fighting Cedricus Dumas, who is one of me and Sandro's favorite fighters.
What does he even do, man? Literally, what does he do?
He's like big, but not like huge. He's just like big. Like
he's there.
And I guess he was like grappling like competently in his last fight. I don't know. Rusiboyev, I don't know if he's good or not, but he's very tall, and I guess he's... And Dumas is like used to be the tall guy, and those guys usually die when they fight like someone even taller, so I'm going with that.
He's very tall.
Oh no, this one is personal for you. Bill Aldo is fighting Kyle Nelson.
The real main event, baby.
The main event of the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think Kyle Nelson has looked very good in his last two fights. Like yes. Not exciting, but like very improved like when it comes to winning fights. Yeah, he finally realized that if he turned boring, he was actually going to win fights.
That's interesting. Bill Aldio has like a very good record of beating fighters that I don't like and losing to fighters that I do like. So I'm feeling pretty confident about this, actually. That's my read on this matchup.
Yeah. If you put any thought into the fight, you realize that Bill Aldio is like terrible, awful news for Kyle Nelson.
No. I think he will be winning this fight very easily, actually.
Bill Aldio, by the way, is older and has like a lot more fights than Kyle Nelson for some reason. That's crazy. Because
Kyle
he looks
Nelson
like
just looks divorced as shit.
Yeah.
And also he got on the mic and was like, I'm divorced as shit in one of his most recent fights. That was pretty cool. He said, I'm doing this for all the single dads. Which is
that's
very
great,
powerful.
That's great, yeah.
Touched
I'm
me
hoping
emotionally.
Sending good vibes to the monster right now.
The monster.
The UFC is doing that UFC thing when you're like a very tall guy in a division and you move up and they find the largest dude they can to fuck you up. So Rhys McGee is moving up to... Oh, no. This is even worse. Rhys McGee is not even moving up. Shidi Njuguan is moving down to welterweight for some reason. And he's going to look like shit. Why is he trying to do this? Like... Shidi Njuguani is 6'3".
And like not... I mean, he's skinny, I guess, but he's like big.
He's... Yeah, he's not the kind of skinny to be making this.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked like... He hasn't looked like weak in any of the middleweight fights. He just doesn't know how to wrestle. That is like a big distinction to being weak.
Yeah.
he actually grabs like collar ties and he looks super strong, so.
Oh yeah, that fight against Oleksijic, one of the funniest fights of all time. Thank you for telling
that's
me to watch it.
Great. Yeah.
So funny. But he like looks yeah, this is going to be a weird. I mean, he's going to beat Rhys McGee because Rhys McGee is terrible. Right? Right?
Yeah, but Rhys McGee also like doesn't die and Njuguani Njuguani kills himself, so maybe if goes long, yeah.
I forgot they made Rhys McGee fight Khamzat. So,
yeah, that's insane.
So mean, dude.
What the fuck were they doing? Like, this one is very good, actually, and I don't know why this is not on the main card. Like, the UFC is, I think it's, like, on purpose trying to make me mad with the order of the bouts. But, like, Nate Landwehr versus Jamal Emmers fucking slaps.
Yeah, that's a sick fight.
Yeah, we haven't seen Nate the Train since he lost to Ige, but even in that fight, he looked, like, completely fine. And Emmers just murder Busukiya in his last fight. And before that, he had like a great fight with Jack Jenkins. So this one is going to be a banger. Very excited about this one. Not sure how it's going to look. I think Jamal Emmers likes his fights too pretty. And that's like the recipe for Nate Langwer to take over late.
Mm.
But he's probably going to hit Nate very hard early on. So it's a great dynamic for a good fight. Viral Yadirova versus Lupita Gomez. Godinez, I mean. Yadirova is coming off like two very good wins against Angela Hill and Marina Rodriguez. So she's like very janky, insanely janky, but like actually knows how to do a bit of everything. Lupita right. Godinez is that, but not as janky. I think Lupita is like a bad matchup just because she's like Yadirova, but actually coordinated. So, but Yadirova is sneaky. Like, she's like smart, I feel. Like, this is a good fight for 115.
Mm, yeah. I'm looking forward to this quite a bit.
Yeah. It's a cool fight. 115 is like sneaky, so good. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, it's not like men's featherweight or band weight, but like the strawweight puts on less embarrassing fights than welterweight, for sure.
Yes.
Welterweight is just having such middleweight energy as of late.
It really has been. Like, it's so bad lately. And there's, like, good fighters in there, too. It's just, like, the rankings are all fucked up. And there's, like, a ton of bad fighters in there.
The unranked fighters are so bad, they are never going to be ranked.
It's such a disaster.
Like, for example, we just talk about, like yeah. Quinlan versus Fugit. Like, those mm-hmm. guys are not never going to be ranked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
never? Like, and not even by mistake, like.
Not even if they have, like, a big fight coming up and they're, like, the step up for some yeah. prospects and they get fake ranked for a week.
Not even that, yeah. Julio Arce is moving back to featherweight despite being like a super average size bantamweight in UFC, but I guess the weight cut sucks for him, and he's fighting Herbert Burns, the Blaze, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh wow, does he smoke weed?
He usually gets smoked himself. That's But yeah, Herbert Burns haven't fought like in more than a year and a half after getting killed by Bill Algeo. Where he got like super tired. And gave us that iconic picture of
I love that photo so much.
His brother Gilbert carrying him. I don't know why it's so funny. It's like a Renaissance painting.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing with Herbert Burns is that he's huge for featherweight and Julio Arce is tiny, but never forget that Julio Arce kicked Julian Urosa in the head. One of the sickest knockouts of all time.
So cool.
Just because Julio Arce is 5'6" and Urosa is over 6 feet tall.
Julio Arce is so cool.
Yeah, Julio Arce is insanely cool, but he looked like kind of shot in his last few fights. So I hope moving back to featherweight makes him look good again. Because he's so fucking cool. Conor Matthews, the controller. Who is this guy? Okay, he's going for Contender Series. I never remember the Contender Series guys. But he's fighting Denis Busukiya, who is a longer white man guy that got killed by Jamal Emmers in his last fight. And he lost to Sean Woodson in his debut, so I don't think I have much to say about this one. This Conor Matthews guy comes from the New England cartel, so Sriram probably is looking forward to this one. I'm sure I saw the Contender Series fight from this guy, but I don't remember at all. It's so many Contender Series fights.
And they like all get signed.
Yeah, that this last season was terrible when it came to that, like.
Well, he has his own website.
Connor Matthews does?
Boston's Connor Matthews, also known as the Controller, embodies the American hustle.
Okay.
His transition from 6 years as a distinguished U.S. Air Force combat controller to a formidable UFC fighter showcases his resilience, persistence, and heart.
Very cool guy. He's a very cool guy.
Sucks.
His merch sucks. Yeah. We have a light heavyweight bout, and we have the debut of Ivo Aslan. I don't have any idea who this guy is, but he looks so jacked in his topology picture.
Wait, let me take a look.
He looks insanely jacked.
Which guy? Aslan?
Yeah.
Alright. Jamie, pull that shit up. Hell yeah. Oh, he's doing the... You know what Taylor Higgins does, where he like always flexes his traps really hard?
He's doing that. He's doing that for sure. And he's fighting the Pleasure Man. And the Pleasure Man is like the losing man.
He is real stinky.
Yeah, he's probably going to get fucked up here, right?
Yeah.
Melissa Gatto is fighting Victoria Dudakova. Which one is Dudakova? I don't remember. Oh, it's a it's a girl that grapple Jiju Fry. And yeah, Melissa Gatto is kind of okay. She's not great, but she's okay. We have a wrestler's bout between Andre Petroski and Jacob Malkoon. And this one is funny because Malkoon fought that guy that hung out with the Diaz brothers, Nick Maximov. And Nick Maximov was like an actual wrestler, and Malkoon just like jabbed his face off and then injured his leg with a leg kick and then didn't throw any more leg kicks because he said he doesn't train leg kicks. That's so such a weird
Hell
moment.
Yeah.
And Petroski is like also a very legit wrestler, and he got killed by Michel Pereira in his last fight. Petroski does have, like, a sick physique, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And Malkoon is, like, weird because he always looks small. He's very physical for some reason. He's so strong. And I don't have more to say about that because it's middleweight. I'm not going to like do analysis on that shit. And the opener is Angel Pacheco, who lost in Contender Series. I don't remember his fight. Hopefully he looked good. And he's fighting Conor Loughran. That is that guy that lost to Taylor Lapillus on UFC France. And that guy looked decent. He's like a fucking tank. He's like thick, so I support that.
Oh, yeah. Also looks like, you know when people mirror their faces with the,
yeah,
those apps?
Yeah, he looks like that. Yeah. He looks exactly like that, yeah. He doesn't need his fans to do the Oleksiyshuk shit.
Yeah.
When he had like a mirrored picture on his Wikipedia profile for like 5 years.
That.
Yeah. It was so weird. That's the event. There are a few highlights. The main event is like a good main event. Aljo versus Kyle Nelson is probably going to be fun. And Jokwani versus Rhys McGee is going to be a mess. Landwehr versus Emers is my pick for fight of the night, I guess. Jandiro versus Godinez is good. Julio Arce is my boy. So yeah, it's like, it's Apex bullshit. This one is not Apex, actually, I think. Because, yeah, I think this is on the hometown of Erin Blanchfield, who is American, and I feel like Blanchfield is very, like, UK coded.
I agree. I was gonna.
I'm glad we agree on that one.
Oh, that's interesting. She's from, huh?
Where is she from?
She's from Elmwood Park, New Jersey. I saw that, and there's an Elmwood Park. One of my friends grew up there. but different place. And I was like, wait, she's from right by me? But no, it's a different one.
So there's more than one Elmwood Park in USA.
Yeah, well, no, she's from the Elmwood Park in Israel. By me.
I think that's a good sign to finish the podcast, I think. thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is the slop, so we just like to have fun on these ones. And I have a lot of fun podcasting with my bestie over here. thank you for being here, Sandro. Do you want to say anything?
No, thanks for having me. I always have a great time. I love talking fights with you.
Same.
Blast.
For my part, I'll be having an article on elbows. And it's not related to the death of Bloody Elbow, by the way, but
peace.
I'm talking about actual elbows. I mean, not that Bloody Elbow is not an actual elbow. Is it an actual elbow? I don't know, but yeah, I have an article coming out later this week. And I'll probably do some threads for you Twitter freaks. For those of you that get your entertainment on x.com. It's so disgusting when someone says X instead of Twitter.
It makes me physically ill.
I'm so glad that almost no one... I mean, no one cool ever says that. Like, you can follow me on X. Like,
you can immediately tell that someone's like a freak when they call it X.
Get the fuck out. Do you remember that tweet that I sent you that was like, fire talking smack on X is the best. That guy's a freak for sure. Anyway, that's the podcast, guys. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the Fight Site as an ongoing project, remember that you can support us on Patreon. For $5, you can get access to our Discord server and also an ever-growing catalog of exclusive content. I've been posting a lot of videos that of the main cards of the pay-per-views lately, especially like a wrestling analysis and that kind of shit, that I cannot post on Twitter because they are getting nuked. And obviously, I cannot post on YouTube either. So the only way to get them is on Patreon. So if you want to drop some dollars over there, I will be very thankful. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And I catch you on the next one. Bye.
Peace.